This morning's public reading of God's Word takes us to the New Testament, please. Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. This morning, going to read the first 19 verses in our hearing here this morning. Luke chapter 17, verses 1 to 19. And I need to get there. Let's see here. Luke 17, verse 1. Then he said unto his disciples, It is impossible, but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hung about his neck, and he be cast into the sea, than that he offend even one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostles said unto the Lord, Increase our faith. What a question. That's a very deep, challenging, sobering question. And the Lord said, If ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamore tree, Be thou plucked up by the roots, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. But which of you, having a servant, plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, Go and sit down to meat? And will not rather say unto him, Make ready therewith, I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me, till I have eaten and drunk it, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. Doth not he think that servant, because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye have done all those things which are commanded you, say, quote, We are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do, unquote. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go, show yourselves unto the priests. And it shall come to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger? And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith had made thee whole. Please be seated, and may God choose to bless his word. We live in a society and a culture today, especially now with all the political correctness and all of the critical race theory and all of the wokeism that's now coming abroad. Some of this garbage is even found in our churches. That's actually replaced the gospel for many churches. Now they preach the gospel of woke, the gospel of transgenderism. And we now live in a culture that even on Facebook, if you say something that is truthful, but it has a little bit of a sting to it, you're going to be put in Facebook jail. Well, what does Jesus say? It's impossible that offenses will come. Beloved, we live in a world that needs to realize that if you're going to have free speech in a free society, some things are going to be said that are going to be very offensive. But that's the price you pay for a free society. And I'm not willing to give that up. Okay? The First Amendment to the Constitution doesn't exempt anybody from being offended. But it guarantees your right to say what you want to say. Now, as Christians, the Bible, I believe, does restrict what we are to say, because we're to say things seasoned with grace and salt. I understand that. But in some instances and in some contexts, it is needful for a Christian to simply stand up and say, "Thus saith the Lord." That alone in itself will get you in trouble today. You can say it with all the sweetness. You can say it with free candy. You can say it with a happy meal. But you're going to offend people. When you tell people that Jesus is the only way to the Father and he is the only way to heaven, that in itself is considered by many today as hate speech. Jesus said it's impossible, but that offenses will come. So we need to realize that as a Christian, we're going to be offended by some of the things that the other people say about you and I. They're going to make allegations that are not true about you and I. And it is very, very, very offensive. But that's the price we pay in a free society. And I must admit, there's a lot of tension there. How far do you go with that free speech? How far do you go? But then Jesus tells us that the one who is offending by what they say, in verse 2, Jesus is quite harsh. It is better for him that a millstone were hung about his neck and he be cast into the sea and not offend one of these little ones. Now, other gospel narratives may be pointing to the little ones as either a child or possibly a young believer in the Lord at that time, a babe in Christ. So again, I am saying we have to be very cautious in what we say and how we say it. But there's a fine line between offending someone and at the same time defending truth. And then the apostles ask this probing question in verse 5. Increase our faith. They don't realize what they're asking for. Because, beloved, when you ask God to increase your faith, he's normally going to send what? Trials and tribulations. He's going to send a little bit of persecution. He's going to put you and I in the cave of Adullam, like David. He's going to put us in a cave. We're going to be on the run from our adversaries, hiding in a cave, or maybe standing in front of a huge Goliath, or maybe, beloved, standing in front of a council of individuals and trying to defend one's faith before the authorities, before they take our heads off. That's what it means when you ask God, increase my faith. That doesn't mean you go off to Bible college or seminary. Be prepared to suffer. See, only in suffering can one's faith really be tested and really proven to be real and strong. And then he talks about one of his lessons here is this concept of prayer. Increase our faith. Well, notice the Lord gives the first illustration of the first lesson dealing with this concept of prayer. But then he talks about the master-servant relationship. And then we come to that verse 10. For some Christians, this is very hard to swallow. And so let's look at it. When it comes to the servant doing simply what the master says, if the master wants a hot coffee, a cup of hot tea, and the servant runs to the kitchen, gets the kettle going, pours the hot water, sweetens it just right, adds cream or no cream, dashes off to the master, and it's one of the best cups of tea the servant has ever made. What if the master doesn't say thank you? How is our faith increased? Beloved, increasing our faith may also mean serving other people who will never turn around and tell you thank you. They may not even clap their hands. You may not get the Good Citizen Award for the year. You've given a cup of tea. That was your job. And the master just drinks it to his delight. And sometimes on earth, we're called upon to do things for other people. And those people are never going to be in a position to ever pay you back. What do you do with your faith? So likewise ye, plural, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you. this is to come from your lips. We are but unprofitable servants. We, in the plural, have done that which was ours, our duty to do. You may not get the citizen's award, but our Heavenly Father is a pretty good bookkeeper. You may not hear those words or get the accolades and get the awards and then get the gold ribbon or the golden key to the town this side of the grave, but in heaven you will be amply rewarded for your service. That's the point. That's the point. Paul tells us, this is his version of the gospel narrative, do not be weary in well-doing. Others may not recognize your gifts, your talents, and your abilities. Others may never recognize your gracious gifts and the things you do for them behind the scenes. They may never, never acknowledge that. But God Almighty is a pretty good bookkeeper. Even Jesus said that if you gave a glass of cold water in his name to one of his own, even that will not go unnoticed in the courts of heaven. That proves your faith. How are you going to increase your faith? When you serve other people and they don't even turn around and give you a howdy doody or a thank you. At that point, your faith needs to kick in. And then lastly, we got these 10 lepers. And notice in verse 12, they knew their duty. They stood afar off. Okay? That was a requirement in the book of Leviticus and in the book of Numbers about leprosy. They were to be off, stand off. But they lifted up their voices to Jesus and they called him, Master, have mercy on us. So notice, here's an outward profession of their lips. Master, have mercy on us. So now Jesus tells them to do something. Okay, if they truly have faith, he's going to tell them to do something. Go show yourself unto the priest and do whatever you have to do for your cleansing. And then as they were going off to do whatever Jesus told them to do, they're all cleansed. But for some reason, only one guy turns around. He turns around and he falls down and he worships Jesus, verse 16, falling at his feet, rendering thanksgiving. And the Bible goes out of his way, the Holy Spirit, to say, oh, by the way, he's a half-breed. He's one of those people that are despised by the real Jews of Judea. So this guy got more than one strike against him. Leper and also a half-breed. Two strikes. Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger? Now comes verse 19 to make a point, and this might shock some of you. And he said unto them, arise, go thy way, thy faith had made thee whole. I believe that out of the 10 lepers, only this one leper was not only cleansed of his leprosy, but he was also saved from his sins inwardly. What am I driving at? The other 9 simply benefited by the mercy and grace of Christ. That's it. They weren't saved on the inside. They were simply cleansed from an outside disease that was very, very fatal at that time. That's it. Because only one comes back. And Jesus goes out of his way in verse 19. Verse 19, Jesus doesn't say about the other 9. He only says this about the one who comes back. Thy faith, singular, had made thee, singular, completely whole. Body, mind, and soul. And so here's a good point, beloved, that people who even live externally under the laws of God, even they are going to benefit in the end. not in salvation, but their life. If a person who is moral but lost, if they simply live by the Ten Commandments and by the Golden Rule, I got news for you. They're going to enjoy life and have a pretty good life externally. Yes. The other nine lepers benefited from the compassion of Christ, but not in a saving way as this one Samaritan who does come back and says, Lord, thank you. And he worshiped at the feet of Christ. That's the difference between external religion and true heart religion. Well, may the Lord choose to bless his word. Amen.